Evening, everybody. Thank you, Will. I really enjoyed to hear what you had to share with us tonight. And I can just say, amen. I'm glad that he's my shepherd, too. So let's just go back one gospel to the Gospel of Luke. Go to Luke's Gospel and chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and we'll commence reading at verse 19. Luke 16 and 19. This is the parable about the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, or hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded who one rose from the dead. You know, there are some really important things in this parable for us to come to grips with, especially if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. The parable has some really important things to say, and we find that in this parable, it's one of the few, and maybe the only one, I'm not sure about that, where we have the description of the feelings of a person who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior after they have died. We have the testimony from this rich man. Verse 23 and 24 describes what is taking place for him. I'll just read them in 23 and 24. And he said, And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Wow, that's a really vivid picture that we have painted here for us about hell. There is something that we can pick up really quick in this parable, and that is that the status that we have with regards to the world's standards and the status that we have compared to God's standards are totally different. The Lord Jesus in the parable is talking about two men. There's a rich man, which in verse 19 tells us that he fared sumptuously every day. The other man is a poor man, beggar. And the poor man had nothing. And yet the poor man was saved by grace and he walked in faith. And the rich man was concerned only with the things that his wealth could bring him, with not a thought about eternal things at all. And therefore, he was spiritually dead in his trespasses and in his sins, as the Bible teaches that we all are, until we come to that place where we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died, took our place, and shed his blood for those sins. That when we accept him as our Savior, then they will pass from us too. The Bible seems to teach, and in many instances, that it teaches the very opposite to the things that the way the world would teach. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 it says, not many wise, not many mighty, and not many noble are chosen, are called, pardon me. And there are two other verses that came here, were pointed out to me, and they're in Jeremiah chapter 9. I'll just read them. You don't need to turn to them. Jeremiah chapter 9, 23 and 24 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. And here's the key. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Another thing that's important is that death, we see, is a common denominator. The rich man, with all his wealth and the lifestyle that he had, and the life that Lazarus led in torment and in hunger, they both came to the same end, and that was death. And we see, right after that, the real striking contrast of what happens then. The first part of verse 22 tells us it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I understand that, in reading about this, that the Jews apparently held the opinion that the spirits of the righteous were conveyed by angels into heaven at their death. And the Lord Jesus, in this parable, is affirming this. He says, to be in Abraham's bosom, to the believing Jew, it signifies a place for them of safety and of comfort and rest after death. And Abraham was the father of the faithful and the head of the whole Jewish family, and to be with him after death, the Lord is implying, would be in happiness and in security. And the last part of verse 22 reads like this. The rich man also died and was buried. Verse 23 and 24, where he cried to Abraham to have mercy and that Lazarus might dip his finger, this vividly explains to us terrible ongoing torment of life in hell. He tells us how he had longed for a drop of water for his tongue. And there was a complete about face for both men. After death, the rich man had just gone from luxury and riches into an eternity of hell and torment. Lazarus, the poor man, had gone from a lifestyle of pain, hunger and torment into the endless and eternal riches of glory in heaven. What a contrast that there is between the two, with the decision that they could, that was open to both men. The rich man had cried for mercy, but you know, the mercy of God ends when the soul is lost. After that, it's too late. There is no change after death. In verse 25, Abraham reminds the rich man about the way things were between his life and the way things were in Lazarus' life. And you know, as we can see in the parable, he will have a whole of eternity to be able to bring that into remembrance. Well, that's a very somber and sobering thought. 26, the Lord teaches us that there is no hope to bridge that mighty gulf between heaven and hell. And that there is no deliverance from hell. Those who have chosen to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and to die in that state will be in hell forever because of the finality of it all. In 27 and 28, the Lord teaches us that those that are unconverted find out the value of a person's soul after they die. Again, and that's when it's too late. There is no reprieve. The rich man had asked that Lazarus then be sent back to his brothers to inform them about his situation and the devastating consequences of the life that he had lived, that they may believe and that they may not end up in the same situation that he did. But Abraham pointed him to the scriptures when he warned that Moses and the prophets spoke of these things. But the rich man said, oh no. He said, Abraham, if I believe that if a man was sent back from the dead, and that he would testify to them, that they would truly believe, and then turn and repent on their wicked ways, and therefore miss that eternity in hell. Abraham said, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one would return from the dead. And you know, we're witnesses to that. The truth of what's in this verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that he had from his Father returned from the grave. And you know, the Jewish nation didn't believe. They didn't believe. And the scriptures themselves, this book right here, has everything in it that we are ever going to need to understand the difference between heaven and hell and the need for salvation and the work that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary on the behalf of everybody. So it isn't that we're going to need more evidence to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got all the evidence that we need and more. What is going to have to happen is the hearts and the wills of the people are going to have to put this into practice. There is no other way. If there was something else needed, it would be in here too. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great love for us, condescended to come from the glories of heaven and to die on the cross. It's humbling to think that he would do that for me and for you. The pain and the suffering that he, not only the physical death, but the separation from his Father, we may in eternity get to know how that was for him. But we just know that it was a terrible, terrible thing for our Lord to go through that. So there was nothing else more to be done. The Lord Jesus Christ had done it all on the center cross at Calvary. There was nothing to be added at all. And you know, we have a great verse in John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's whosoever, that covers everybody, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know where it says perish? There it doesn't say die, it says perish, because there's a difference there. Perish, as it says here, is that in danger in our natural state, of sinking into the pains of hell. And that's punished with an everlasting destruction, banished from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So death is just a stage that we're all going to go through. And it's after that stage that we'll meet the Lord. And we'll either be ushered into his presence or we'll be banished into hell, where the rich man was, in torment forever. So we can see that the very important things in this parable are that the salvation is of nobody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't buy it. We can't work for it. So we're all on the same footing, rich and poor alike. We're all exactly the same when it comes to our salvation because the Lord Jesus Christ had done all the work. And we can see that we'll know for sure that salvation is here and it's full and it's free to all that would come. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That this Lord would condescend to do that for us. He desires to have fellowship with us. Because, you know, soon the dispensation of grace will be gone. And then it will be forever too late. I have something here that I'd like to share that Brother Boyd Dickerson wrote. He was here with us at our conference and spoke for a couple of weeks. And the verse for the text was Romans 3:26, which says, I declare, pardon me, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness that he might be just and be the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And he has a few sentences here, which I'd like to share with you. He says, the law of God has arrested the criminal race. The judge enters. Silence in the court, he says. Every mouth is gagged. The verdict is pronounced. Guilty before God. The judge passes a sentence for the wages of sin. It's death. The executioner stands in the shadows, sword drawn. All is lost. There is no reprieve. Then the righteous judge lays aside his robes. He steps down from his high seat and he says, I will pay. You can just say amen to that. He would do that. I will pay. He is just, for he demanded the full penalty. He becomes the justifier by paying it himself in full. How foolish to reject such a Savior. And there's a verse here underneath them that says, oh, why remain Christless when you may be blessed? Oh, why remain weary when Christ giveth rest? And I thought that it's very fitting to share that with you along with this parable. You know, it's such an important thing for us to understand. It's such an important thing for us to really understand the difference between heaven and hell. And the parable especially speaks to my own heart tonight because, and I'm sure some of you do too, we have family and friends that haven't made this decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that if he were to come, maybe even tonight, we don't know the hour of his coming. He has just asked us, told us to be ready. And if he comes, what then? Then the mercy and the day of grace is over. And there is no more time. Because today is the day of salvation. It's the accepted time. It's not something that we can put off. My brother Boyd told us about a fellow he in a meeting one time and he spoke to him and he said, well, it all sounds right And he says, I think I'm going to just have to do that one day. And he went out of the meeting, and I believe it was within the block of the church that he was killed in a car accident. So he didn't have time. The scripture says, then it becomes too late. Then it's forever too late. So while we can make those conscious decisions, then it's important for us that we make them. How, as Boyd said, how foolish to reject such a Savior. It would be my prayer that He is the Savior of every one of us here tonight. And He has told us that He is at the door and He knocks, and if any man would let Him in, He would come in. And we read the joy of the angels in heaven when one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day it will be in heaven when we all gather to be in continual praise and adoration of the Savior that went to the cross for us. It's a very sobering thought. So you know, we can ask tonight. So don't put it off. Let's pray. Our God and Father, tonight we have had the opportunity to share from your word some sobering thoughts, some exciting thoughts. And we do thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ condescended to come, born in that humble stable. He grew up and he did so many wonderful things. And we read that he went steadfastly to Jerusalem, and there he suffered and he died. And he shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Oh, Father, we thank you for so great salvation. It's ours, so rich, so free. So, Father, we thank you. And we thank you for the scriptures which clearly teach us. Now, Father, we just ask you to separate us with your blessing. We just pray that you'll bless our time together as we have fellowship. We sing these wonderful hymns. And we also, Father, thank you for the refreshments that we will receive, except of our thanks, in the worthy and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.